Hi guys, and welcome back to Open Language. This is Connor.
And this is Lisa.
And today we're bringing you another book series. This one is about a famous investor called Ray Dalio. So if you are a financial person, this is for you.
That's right. So you might have heard of his name before, and he is actually the founder of Bridgewater Associates.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So the monologue today is kind of in two parts. There's a little information about the book, and then there are some quotes from the book. So let's take a listen to the monologue.
That sounds good to me.
Ray Dalio is one of the world's leading investors and entrepreneurs. In his book, Principles, he shares the unconventional guidelines and values that he's cultivated and refined over the course of his illustrious career. He lays out the most effective ways for individuals and organizations in decision-making, resolving challenges, and building cohesive teams. The book includes hundreds of practical lessons that are built around his cornerstones of radical truth and radical transparency. Here are some of his quotes from the book. If you're not failing, you're not pushing your limits. And if you're not pushing your limits, you're not maximizing your potential. If you are too proud of what you know or of how good you are at something, you will learn less, make inferior decisions, and fall short of your potential. Maturity is the ability to reject good alternatives in order to pursue even better ones. The most valuable habit I've acquired is using pain to trigger quality reflections.
All right, so we just listened to the monologue, and it begins talking about Ray Dalio's principles.
Mm-hmm. So first of all, this word principle, you may have seen this word before. It's basically like a rule, like a moral or ethical rule for good behavior, right?
That's right. So it's kind of a basic ideal.
Mm-hmm. An ideal or even a value.
So one principle could be, let's say, to always be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really important principle. If somebody isn't honest or is not a person of principle, then we might say he or she doesn't have any principles.
But Ray's principles are a little bit different. They're very unconventional.
Mm-hmm, right. So this unconventional, you may have seen the word conventional, and that means like traditional, like the usual way to do something. And we don't really have an opposite of traditional. We don't say untraditional. That's not really a word, is it?
No, not really. We just say not traditional.
Mm-hmm. But in this case, the opposite of conventional is unconventional. So you can say this. It's like kind of new, innovative. It's not the tradition, right?
That's right. And unconventional things can be very good because they can help change industries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he has these guidelines and values that he's cultivated and refined over the course of his illustrious career.
That's right. So cultivated. Cultivate is the verb and cultivated is the adjective.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if you cultivate something, then you help it grow or develop.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So he's developed these guidelines, these principles. He's also refined them.
If you refine something, then you kind of perfect it.
So you can cultivate a new habit, like if you want to get in shape, work out, get really healthy. But refining is more about making it perfect, right? Taking out all the little mistakes.
That's right. Anything that is bad. Mm-hmm. So they also kind of refine oil.
Oh, yeah. Refine oil. Yeah. The gas that you put in your car, originally that was really dirty, right?
That's right. Because they took it straight out of the ground.
Out of the ground. Now it's refined. It's made really clean and perfect. So you can cultivate things and then refine them to make them perfect. And he's done this over his long, illustrious career. So what's illustrious here?
So illustrious, this is kind of, let's say, maybe full of fame or reputation.
Mm-hmm, yeah, like famous or well-respected, well-admired. So just be careful of the usage for illustrious. It's probably okay to say like illustrious doctor, but it's usually used like this, an illustrious career. It's kind of a chunk in this way.
Exactly. You could also say maybe an illustrious family, but we don't use it as much for the specific position.
Right. Exactly. So anyway, in this book, he lays out the most effective ways for individuals and organizations in decision-making, resolving challenges, and building cohesive teams. Oof, so this sounds like a good book. First of all, lays out.
Okay, so when you lay something out, you kind of explain it or break it down.
Right, yeah. So I think about this as like a blueprint for a building. You unfold it, then you lay it out, you spread it out on a table so you can see it all clearly, right?
Exactly. If you're using the noun layout, it is actually kind of like a picture or blueprint of something or a structure.
Right, yeah.
So in this situation, he's kind of basically showing you the structure.
Mm-hmm, yeah, he's explaining it really clearly. And what he's explaining is decision making, resolving challenges. So resolving here, this might be a tricky one. It's very much similar to solving, right?
Exactly.
So basically, it comes down to resolving. It's like solving, but it's kind of used in different situations. Like when you resolve something, you didn't necessarily find the answer, but you finished the problem. The problem ended. So for example, if they're fighting in a marriage or something, they resolved their differences. That doesn't mean they found the answer and everybody's happy, but it means they stopped fighting.
That's a really good example. And we also frequently use this in business, right?
Mm-hmm, for sure.
So maybe the countries resolved their differences, but maybe they don't completely agree.
And we'll put this in the grammar section for today, the difference between resolve and solve. So be sure to check that out.
But aside from resolving challenges, he's also building cohesive teams.
Ah, so cohesive, an adjective here. We can also use this as a noun. A cohesive is like basically glue, something really sticky, right?
That's right. So cohesive things kind of hold things together.
Mm-hmm. They stick together. And that's kind of what it means here. You work well together. You're not fighting all the time. You're resolving your differences and working well in a group.
That's right. You're being good team players.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah.
All right. But in order to achieve this, he has included hundreds of practical lessons that are built around his cornerstones of radical truth and radical transparency.
Okay, so first of all, built around. You may have seen this before as built on or built upon. It's kind of the same meaning. It's when you build a company or something on a foundation, right? So you start with this basic foundational idea and you build it on that with that in mind.
So you can kind of think of it like pictorially in this situation. The idea is in the middle and all of these lessons are kind of spreading out from that main idea.
Mm-hmm. They have to relate back to that that main idea, which is also called a cornerstone.
So the cornerstones are kind of his principles, once again.
Mm-hmm, like the main idea, the central idea. We say cornerstone because a long time ago, when they built buildings, the very first rock, the very first stone, the most important stone for the building was the stone in the corner, because they had to build from that one. That's how they could build it correctly, and so it wouldn't fall down. So the cornerstone is the most important stone. For our principles, it's like the most important idea. Like in America, the family unit is the cornerstone of society.
That's right. So it's a foundational point.
For sure. What about radical?
So radical, this is kind of extreme or is very different. It can also cause a lot of change.
Mm-hmm, yeah. The key idea there, it's radical. The words radical terrorism is a term that keeps popping up in the news.
That's right. So it comes up when we talk about radical beliefs, because usually when we think that something's a little too extreme, it's maybe not the best.
Mm-hmm. Just to let you know, this is also a slang word that started in the 80s or 90s.
I think so. Yeah,
and it just means cool, like really cool. We say, oh, radical, man, that's awesome.
Or you can just say that's rad.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And I still say this, that's rad. Actually, I say it all the time.
Yeah, so you can use it in a slang situation or you can use it in a formal academic context.
Rad.
But the two radical points that he's talking about here are radical truth and radical transparency.
Mm-hmm. So something that is transparent, which is the adjective form, is clear. You can see through it.
And transparency is something that we really often talk about in business and in politics.
Yeah, especially politics. It just means honesty and openness, doing something without any secrets.
So if the business is doing something, then all the employees know why. There are no secrets.
For sure. And It is. I mean, you could use this with your friend. If your friend is really honest to you, you could say, thank you for being so transparent. But I mean, it's a little bit formal, right?
Yeah, I agree.
So you could say it like in a business meeting. Oh, thank you, so-and-so coworker or boss, for being so transparent.
Exactly. But here, these ideas are a little bit radical because sometimes in business, they say that you should maybe hide your intentions. But here, he's saying that you should be transparent about them.
Mm-hmm. And he is very transparent about his ideas. And he has a lot of good ideas and quotes in the book. So here are some of his quotes from the book. First of all, we have this is actually probably my favorite one. If you're not failing, you're not pushing your limits. And if you're not pushing your limits, you're not maximizing your potential.
So, pushing your limits. This kind of means that you are trying to extend your ability, that you're trying to be able to do more.
Right, exactly. So, everybody has a limit and we all know our limits. I mean, the common example is just exercising. Like, I know I can run a mile in 5 minutes.
Yeah, no, well, let's see about that.
Yeah, no, I can't at all. But like every time I go jogging, I try to push my limit. I try to go a little faster to see if I can push my limit a little farther.
You might see people pushing their limits a little bit too much at work as well. So maybe they're really, really tired because they've been just working too hard.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And why I love this quote so much is that we all know you need to push your limits, right, in order to succeed. But he's saying that you will fail when you push your limits. So if you're not failing, if you're only succeeding, that means you are not pushing your limits.
Exactly. So here he sees failure as an important thing.
Exactly, exactly. And through that, you're going to maximize your potential.
Maximizing, just a quick note here, it kind of comes from maximum, which basically here just means to make something as big as possible.
Mm-hmm. And this is your potential, your possible ability to succeed. And the next quote here, if you're too proud of what you know or of how good you are at something, you will learn less, make inferior decisions, and fall short of your potential. So we have potential here again. First of all, so if you're too proud, if you're a proud person, I'm the best, I'm so good, everyone tells me they love me.
Yeah, that would be, you're maybe a little bit arrogant if that happens.
Yeah, probably.
All right, well, if you think that you are the best, maybe you will make inferior decisions.
Mm-hmm, because if you think you're the best, you're not going to try to learn more and you're not going to make these good decisions. And so inferior here is just means not as good as something.
Exactly. So maybe your decisions are maybe not as developed or well thought out because you are not listening to other people.
Mm-hmm. And the opposite of inferior is superior. We see inferior a lot. This is where we get racism. People think they are superior. And some people still think that black people are inferior. I mean, I know that number is getting really, really small, but it still exists. Or inferior products. Like, I think iPhone is a superior product, and I maybe think some other products are inferior.
That's very true. But you could also feel inferior yourself,
like a inferiority complex.
Exactly. So maybe you feel inferior because someone else has more experience than you do.
Yeah, that's a tough one to get around. But I think everybody has it at least a little bit, like that feeling of, oh, I'm not as good as somebody else.
Exactly. But you just got to remember to keep pushing your limits and you'll improve.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And one more thing here. If you are too proud or you're not learning more, you will fall short of your potential.
That's right. So fall short. You can kind of think of this as trying to jump as far as you can.
Oh,
but
instead
of making that distance, you just kind of maybe just jump a short ways.
Right. Yeah. You fail to reach some goal or some expectation or something like that. We often use this, maybe car sales fell short last year. They didn't make enough money. That's happening in a lot of places, I think.
That's right. So it's basically any time that you couldn't reach your goal.
Yeah. And one interesting point is this is a phrasal verb, and phrasal verbs are often casual, but this is a phrasal verb that you can use formally. I think I've seen this in like studies in journals, right?
Yeah. And it's really frequently used in presentations.
Like we fell short of our expectations.
Exactly.
So the next one, maturity is the ability to reach good alternatives in order to pursue even better ones.
So here he kind of defines maturity. A lot of the times we think of maturity as kind of being adult-like.
Yeah, so, you know, you're emotionally stable, you're acting very mature like an adult. You're not being a little whiny baby kind of person.
That's right. And we say this because as an adult, your brain has developed and you are making rational decisions.
For sure, yeah. And so part of being mature, part of maturity is rejecting good alternatives for better ones.
So I think a lot of people have the tendency to basically jump on the first good idea.
That's true, yeah.
But here we want to consider the alternatives, the other options.
Yeah, exactly. It's easy to take the first good idea, but you really should just wait until you find the best one, the best alternative. So another example of alternative, like I like coffee, but there's an alternative to coffee, which is tea, right?
That's right. And, well, as you guys probably already know, I can't really drink alcohol. Uh-huh. So yeah, tea is actually usually my alternative when I go out.
Okay, yeah. Or alternative forms of transportation, you know, besides a car, of course, is bike or bus.
And the last quote here, it says, "The most valuable habit I've acquired is using pain to trigger quality reflections."
Okay, so this is interesting. I think it's really important because we learn a lot through pain, through hardships and difficulties. And when we go through that, it triggers a reflection. So what does trigger mean here?
Trigger kind of basically means to cause.
To cause something kind of like quickly, like a gun. This is where the word comes from. A gun has a trigger. The trigger is that thing you pull with your finger to make the gun fire. And so it's like kind of like this small little thing that causes a big reaction.
And we can use this for many different things. For example, the Me Too movement triggered a huge uprising of females just voicing their opinions.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Or in politics or government, some tiny little thing could trigger a war. And you may have seen the word spark. We use spark in a similar way here. It can spark something. A very small thing can cause a large reaction.
That's right. But here, pain is triggering quality reflections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you want to really think about your job and how to make it better, or your life in general, sometimes it's good to go through some pain, some trials.
Okay, you guys, I think that Ray had some really good points there. So why don't we go back and listen to that again?
Sounds good.
Ray Dalio is one of the world's leading investors and entrepreneurs. In his book, Principles, he shares the unconventional guidelines and values that he's cultivated and refined over the course of his illustrious career. He lays out the most effective ways for individuals and organizations in decision-making, resolving challenges, and building cohesive teams. The book includes hundreds of practical lessons that are built around his cornerstones of radical truth and radical transparency. Here are some of his quotes from the book. If you're not failing, you're not pushing your limits. And if you're not pushing your limits, you're not maximizing your potential. If you are too proud of what you know or of how good you are at something, you will learn less, make inferior decisions, and fall short of your potential. Maturity is the ability to reject good alternatives in order to pursue even better ones. The most valuable habit I've acquired is using pain to trigger quality reflections.
Okay, so we just heard the lesson again about Ray Dalio's book, Principles. Lisa, have you ever heard of him or did you know much about him before this lesson?
To be honest, I had heard about him in passing, but I didn't really know much about him.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know much about him until last summer when I listened to a podcast, because I love podcasts, and he was the guest on the podcast. So I listened to him speak on this podcast. It was like an interview for like 2 hours, and I really liked him. Like, he had so many good ideas, and he was really just humble. He was a really humble guy, especially for a financial person.
you kind of maybe expect some people to have an ego,
especially if they're like a CEO or something like that.
That's very true.
Mm-hmm, yeah, he was very transparent. I really liked a lot of his principles especially, and you know, I might even go and listen to that podcast again and maybe even pick up his book.
Yeah, he also has a TED Talk.
Oh yeah, TED Talk for sure. So yeah, be sure to check that out. What about you guys? Have you ever heard of Ray Dalio? What do you think of some of the principles, the quotes in this lesson? Maybe leave us your favorite quote and why is it your favorite quote? Maybe write that in a comment.
And if you guys know of any other writers about, let's say, business or politics, and if they have similar ideas or radically different ideas, let us know.
For sure. So we look forward to seeing those comments. And until then, we'll talk to you later.
See you then.